Episode 11, How to Set Prices. Welcome to the Be Your Own Boss podcast, the young entrepreneur's guide to starting a business. Whether you're thinking about business for the first time or you have an idea that you want to develop, then this is the podcast for you. I'm Mari and I'll be guiding you through this 15-part series that will keep you on track and help you think through the challenges that come with starting a business. Part of the Welsh Government's Business Wales service, Big Ideas Wales raises aspirations and supports young entrepreneurs' ambitions for business. Part funded by the European Regional Development Fund, Big Ideas Wales supports young people through online resources, business skills workshops, and one-to-one sessions with an advisor to help your ideas become a reality. To get in touch with us, you can like and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Message us and one of the team will get back to you. Call us via the helpline on 03000 60 3000, live chat on the Business Wales website, or you can email us bigideas@gov.wales. Welcome back, everyone. Now, if you remember in the last episode, we talked about funding, the different types there are, where to find them, and some top tips on how to get it. But remember, the element that keeps appearing, that's right, the business plan. Appeared a lot with funding, it was a vital element, so remember, you need to make sure your business plan is good. Now though, it's time to talk pricing and what you should charge. What you charge for your products or services should be enough so that you can make a reasonable profit once you've paid off all the costs and overheads. Don't forget to include your time. Startups often make the mistake of undercharging to attract their first customers, but this is a dangerous tactic. You risk losing money in the short term, and it can be difficult to charge more once you have a reputation for being cheap. Remember these three things and you won't go wrong. 1. Most customers are willing and prepared to pay a fair price. 2. Some customers associate cheap prices with shoddy goods or services. 3. Others will always quibble on price no matter what you charge. Think about whether these are the sort of customers that you want to deal with anyway. I'm going to talk you through the 6 easy steps to follow when coming up with your own prices. Step 1, calculate your costs. For this, you should consider raw materials, stock and supplies, overheads including premises and bills, staff and marketing costs, tax and investment payments. Remember that no cost is too small, it all adds up. Step 2, value your own input. Your own time and expertise should be included in your costs. Make it worth the time that you put in. Step 3, do the maths. Your prices must be higher than your costs in order to break even. The difference between your costs and your price is your profit margin. Before you settle on a price, make sure you've looked at all factors. Step 4. Research the market. Find out what customers are willing to pay. Find out what other businesses charge. This comes back to keeping an eye on your competitors. Step 5. Review your pricing regularly. Watch your costs and update your prices if need be. Keep checking on competitor prices. Keep your knowledge up to date. Be careful not to scare off customers with big price rises. Now, it's important to understand that when talking about profit, there are two types. Gross profit, which is the difference between the amount it costs you to make or buy your products and the amount you sell them to the customer for. Then there's net profit. This is your gross profit minus your overheads, such as bills, premises, and wages. There are ways in which you can raise your profit margins, and they are: source cheaper materials, buy direct from the manufacturer, cut your business running costs down by negotiating better rates on supplies and services. Add value by providing excellent customer services so you can improve your reputation and can charge more as demand increases. Let's hear from another of the Big Ideas role models. In this episode, we'll hear from Sarah Sharp from Cariad Bakery. Hiya, Sarah.
Hiya.
Thank you for coming here today.
Christo.
Tell us a bit about yourself and about the business.
So I'm director of Cariad Bakery Kyiv. based at Koidana and beautiful Anglesey. Everything I do is gluten-free. So I'm gluten-free, my daughter is, and my husband is. And I also make products out of Llaethdyfed Llyngymreig Organic, so it's organic Welsh ewe's milk products. So I started my business back in 2017, and I have a kitchen, a commercial kitchen, in my house at the moment. I'm a qualified environmental health officer. I qualified in 1988, so I spent my main working life advising businesses, educating people, and where necessary, enforcing legislation, food safety legislation. I also have an engineering master's, and I'm a qualified chef, and my daughter's a qualified chef as well. But I would call myself a passionate foodie with allergies, because I can't drink cow's milk either. Hence, I've started making yummy things out of organic Welsh ewe's milk.
And have you been surprised by the reaction?
Yes, I have genuinely been surprised. I went to Taste Wales in March as a rising star, and I thought no one would want to see me. I'm just a small business. I will be at the conference most of the time. But there was so much interest in my products, especially the organic Welsh ewe's products. They were described as new and innovative and exciting, and everyone seemed to love them. So I've been surprised by the positive reaction that I've received, and it's just been brilliant.
Were you quite nervous about doing something that's different and new?
No, I suppose there's the confidence thing. When you make something new, you always worry, well, I like it. I'm making really scrummy food that I like to eat, but will anyone else like it? For me, though, making delicious organic products with an amazing ingredient that is organic Welsh ewe's milk, that was just natural for me. But it was nerve-wracking getting people to taste completely new products.
And what made you bite the bullet and say, I'm going to start this as a business rather than just something I love doing?
Okay, well, I think being truthful is the important thing here. And I was thinking about this. And basically, I've spent my working life as a professional, offering professional advice, helping food businesses. People keep saying to me, have you ever thought of starting a food business, over the years? And I've always said to people, I have 4 children, and you need time and money to start a food business, and my children take all my time and all my money. Anita Ruddock started the body shop at 50 in her garage. I'm going to go for it. If I don't do it now, I never will. And I haven't looked back. It's hard work and a bit scary, but I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And so I'm glad that happened, because otherwise I would still be advising food businesses and I wouldn't have done it.
And sometimes I think things happen when they're meant to happen. Yes. So how is it working as a family and everyone chipping in?
It's brilliant, actually. I trust them implicitly. They're always there to help me when I need them. At my age, I'm rubbish with technology, so my 18-year-old son is my head of IT. I pay him with jelly beans. but he says that he would do it to help me. My daughter, my youngest daughter, the qualified chef who's just finished her degree, she will help me whenever I need help. My eldest daughter's a doctor, so her time is taken up with working, but if I need help, she will help me. My eldest son, he's away studying at the moment, but if I ever need any help, he's always there. So I'm really lucky. I have a team of people who are always there to help me. They put up with me, and a great team behind me, and it's helping me with building my business, because you start out and there's just you, and as you build a business, there comes a point where you need to expand, you need to increase the sort of the capacity, the work capacity, but you can't employ someone because it's not a constant sort of stream of orders. So I hadn't realised it, but I've actually been building my team over the years.
And it's lucky that you have this passion and this drive in you to do the work.
Yeah.
Because it is a passion, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you have to have the passion to do it, and a really good work ethic, because I've always said that raising 4 children is the hardest thing I've ever done, but now running a food business, I think this is the hardest thing I've ever done. I hope that doesn't put people off, because I'm passionate about what I do. I love it and I wouldn't change it. And I'm my own boss and I can plan my day as I want to. Yes, I work hard and long hours, but if I wanted to go to the beach for a couple of hours, I could, and then work into the evening. So I love it. I love meeting so many lovely people. I love producing lovely products that people enjoy. And I'm hoping to grow the business so it's good for the local area as well, because local people have been so nice to me. My husband first brought me to Anglesey in 1984 when we were boyfriend and girlfriend to meet his nine, and everyone has been so sweet to me. So if I can give something back and be good for the local economy, that would be really good.
Yeah, how do you try and search for different flavours and new ingredients to work with?
I make food that I like to eat. So I'm creative, and I think, I wonder whether that will work. So, for example, I've started adding Anglesey chili to make spicy cariads, and it works. I've tried my family, my lab rats, and try them on them, and then my local tasting panel in Llangefni in the local area, and everyone seems to like them. But it's just thinking, I wonder whether that will work, and just trying it. So that sort of, I suppose, satisfies the creative side of me.
And where do you see the business going?
I would like to grow it and make it a big business. I would like it to be really good for the local economy and to employ a team of local people. And I would like it to be international and to shout about organic Welsh ewe's milk and organic Welsh ewe's milk products and my gluten-free cakes as well. I would like it to be big. I would aspire for it to be big, and I would try. And if it doesn't work, I tried and I gave it my best shot.
And they're not only tasty, but they're good for you.
They are. It's great fuel for your body, good for you food, and that's spelled E-W-E. So it is good for you. These are completely organic. Welsh ewe's milk is really good for you. The anecdotal evidence is that it has helped Bulgarian sheep farmers to have exceedingly long lives. It's got almost twice the protein of cow's milk. Although it has more fat in it, it's good for you fat. It helps to lower cholesterol. The fat globules are much smaller, so they're readily digestible. And some people who are lactose intolerant can actually cope with it. I can't have cow's milk. It gives me eczema, and yet I can drink ewe's milk. It has a lot more of the natural essential minerals and vitamins that you need as well. It's got more vitamin C than cow's milk, and lots of good for you elements like potassium and selenium, etc. So it's a really great food, and I will sing its praises always because I think it's wonderful. Heaven in a glass, I call it.
And you're ahead of the game, I have a feeling.
Yeah, no one else is doing this. These are all my creations. And there's a lot of interest in them. Someone described them as new and innovative and exciting, and they taste yummy. And there's not a piece of dried fruit in sight in them. As a person who has allergies, I'm always scouring the supermarket shelves for foods that I can eat, and you know, healthy snacks, things that if I go to a conference and I'm not able to eat, that will actually sustain me. And these fit that need. I can eat those. When I was at Taste Wales, I lived on those because I was so busy. My food was paid for in the restaurant, and I didn't see the restaurant once. I just lived on my ewe's milk cariads.
And I love the name cariad as well.
Thank you.
How important was it for you to use a Welsh name?
For me, it's a Welsh business. I live in a beautiful country, and every day I feel privileged to live where I do. I'm lucky. I was actually born and brought up in London, and when my husband brought me here, I just fell in love with it. It's the people that make the place as well, and people have been so, so sweet to me, so, so nice, and so helpful. And say it's a Welsh business and it's a Welsh product, and to me it was just a fitting word to use. My daughter came up with the name Cariad Bakery, but for me, trying to think what I should call this product, me, that just suited it.
Have you got any advice for someone who might be thinking, oh, I'd love to start a business?
Yes, I would say go for it. Follow your dream. If you have a passion about a product, about something you make, for example, like my ewe's milk cariads, then go for it and try. And then even if it doesn't work, you've tried it. But I'm lucky. I waited, and the stuff of life did get in the way, and I spent years raising my family and helping other food businesses. But I'm lucky that I've got the chance now. But I would say to everyone, go for it now. Don't wait. Go, follow your dream. And good luck. Pop luck.
Well, all the best with
Thank
the
you
business.
So much. Thank you.
Now you've started thinking of pricing, it's also time to start thinking about managing your money as a business. And that's what I'll be talking about in the next episode, so don't forget to listen. If you have any questions, then get in touch with us. To get in touch with us, you can like and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Message us and one of the team will get back to you. Call us via the helpline on 03000 60 3000. Live chat on the Business Wales website. Or send us an email, bigideas@gov.wales. I'll speak to you all again very soon.